variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with Renaissance Woman, Melissa Itell Duran. And if you go to melissaiteljorn.com, you'll see the two documentaries on her. Or go to Roku TV, Amazon Fire, and see the two documentaries there, two separate ones. If you hear, without further ado, Melissa, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Frank. I'm here in the States, and you're in transit. You're in
Kingstown, Jamaica.
Yeah.
And if you hear reggae music on in the background, beautiful reggae music, I'm in the airport right now to come home, which I'm looking forward to. By the way, I did 14 countries. This is my 14th country in I think 7 days. And the last time we spoke, I was somewhere. Right? I was on a boat. Was I on a ferry?
You were on a boat, yes. Yep. Yes, and it was very windy, I think.
Yep.
It sounded windy, yeah.
Yeah, it was windy, and it was a high-speed boat. And, it's just crazy. But I got to 14 new countries here. All total, I've been to 25 Caribbean nations, or, you know, Caribbean island nations, and... I got to far beyond the 100 countries that I've been trying to get into. So there's this group called the Travelers Century Club, and they have a different criteria. Like, for example, they count Puerto Rico as a country, which, of course, we know it's not. It's a territory of the United States. But anyway, I went above and beyond just so nobody question that, I really don't have 100 countries. And, I'm going to put in for membership. Only 1,400 people in the world are members of this Travelers Century Club. And it's for people who've been to 100 countries or more. So I've been, at this point, far more than 100, and certainly by their count. So I'll be happy to join them. and a crazy reason to travel, I guess, but I've been doing it, and I think my family wants me home. And I appreciate the homecoming. And and in the meanwhile, we were talking a little bit off mic, you and I, about some place close to our hearts, and some place I visited last year, and that two places that I visited last year, Israel and Palestine. And of course, Israel is our friend and our ally, and Palestine to me was the scum of the earth, and treated us like crap. But Netanyahu, I've got to say, Netanyahu is getting things done, and he is not bending to anything. And I know Biden is, I don't know if Biden is just playing game and saying, hey, you got to do this. And Netanyahu is playing the game and not listening to him. I don't know what's going on, but what's your take on what's going on between the two leaders?
Well, I think it's no secret that Netanyahu and Biden are not exactly on the greatest of terms. And well, let's face it, the world is giving Netanyahu a hard time about the way this war against Hamas is going. And in fact, as recently as maybe a week or two ago, the UN condemned the situation in Gaza as the result of Israeli aggression, that starvation and degradation are inexcusable, inhumane, and shame on Israel. Well, yes, it's a horrible situation. I feel bad for anybody who's caught in the middle, innocent people living in that region who are caught in the middle. But, you know, the question comes back to who started all this, who came in, who invaded and brutalized the people, kidnapped young and old, killed young girls, and did monstrous things to them. Who started all this? This was Hamas. And who has been sanctioning Hamas? Well, the people who live in Palestine. They elected these guys to run everything. I don't know My boss is, I don't know, he's somewhere else, and he isn't showing his face. I mean, why is the world so against Israel? I mean, what is it? It sounds as though it's a double standard here. And Netanyahu isn't going to take any of this. He's going to, you know, stand his ground, obviously. Despite what the prevailing opinion is in the U.S. government, and yet there are supporters in the Senate and some in the Congress, not many, who are on Netanyahu's side. Not too many. I can count how many there really are. Yeah. It just seems terrible that the world is taking such a stance against Israel when it's reacting to what was done to it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't believe we're here. I can't believe we have sympathy for the government of Palestine. I get having sympathy for the people and the little people there or whatever. But look, do you know how many? And again, I don't want to sound harsh. I don't want to sound I don't want to sound insensitive. But do you know how many German civilians got killed when we were trying to kill Hitler and when we were trying to stop the German army? Do you know how many Italian citizens, innocent citizens, got killed?
Yeah.
We don't know, and we don't talk about it because it's it wasn't relevant. We had to stop this. Well, if you think about it, it's the same thing. It's terrible to say. It is absolutely terrible to say, but Hamas has to be stopped at all cost, and of course we're looking at it every single day and every single minute of the day, and all everyone's talking about is the innocent victims. Do you realize if we were fighting Hitler now or the Japanese or whatever, people, because of social media, because of minute by minute reporting, second by second reporting. We would say, oh, those poor German people, oh, is it so important to get Hitler? Is it so important to get Hitler when we're killing all these innocent Germans? I got news for you. It's war. It's war. And what those people did, what that government, what those terrorists did, and they were elected by the people. And I feel terrible if I could wave a magic wand and have all the innocent civilians protected, I would do it. But how do you stop if you're Israel? If you stop now, it's going to happen in 15 years again. It's by the way, 15 years is optimistic. If you stop and you show weakness now and you don't finish off Hamas and I think others, this is going to happen again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's all. I mean, this is the cycle, the vicious cycle. You know, this is a tale old as time, that Israel is situated amidst so many enemies. And it's a small country, and it's a very sophisticated country. And it's supposedly the best example of democracy, although that may be controversial given what Netanyahu's political alignments were before October 7th, and now people are putting that aside, and the people will judge when the time comes whether they want him back. But they are the only country in a democratic mold that follows us. I mean, and we've helped them over the years. We've stood by them, and yes, we unfortunately this country is taking a turn toward a more pro-Palestinian, as you can see with the chanting in the streets, stance, and that doesn't help Israel. I think this is an example of what's going on across the world, the rise of anti-Semitism. You just go to Europe, go to Belgium, for example, and you'll see Palestinian influence. It's incredible. I don't know what's going to be in the next 5 years, but Israel is fighting for its survival. They can't let its people get butchered like that. I mean, what would happen if the roles were reversed? I mean, the victim would want to go after the aggressor. If that happened to us, what would we do? Just sit back and say, oh, we're going to negotiate? You can't do that.
No.
You really can't do that. And the fact that you brought up World War II is an interesting comparison, because that's the way we That's the way the Allies had to fight in World War II. That was the mentality. You couldn't just sit back and let Hitler go through, you know, continue marching through Europe. It was unfortunate we had isolationists who prevented us from doing anything to aid Britain, for example, but that's the same mentality.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, if you're just joining us late, Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, the Melissa Itell-Joran Show. And you're listening to Melissa Itell-Joran, our host each and every week. Melissa, it's 100% the comparison. World War II is what it is. And you know, now looking back historically, nobody's questioned whether what we did was proper. You know, because you know, if you would have let Hitler go, it would have you know, he would have taken over Europe. He would have taken over the you know, basically taken over the world eventually. And because there's no nobody that could fathom that being a good idea, other than, you know, a skinhead or a racist or whatever, nobody would ever suggest that. But you know, what are these folks that that made these terrorist attacks? How much different are they, in essence, to Hitler? What Hitler was, and what followers? Hold on. So again, when you ask somebody, hey, would you stop under any circumstances to kill Hitler? Everybody say no. You got to kill Hitler. I mean, he killed all the people in the concentration camps. How many would he? He would have wiped out the Jewish religion if he could. Well, guess what? So would Hamas. So would half of the people if not all of the people. Look, I've said this before, and I'm gonna say it again. When you see signs about support and people being critical of Netanyahu, you know, the one sign, and I'm just going to bring it up briefly. I'm not going to dwell on it because we've talked about it. But when I see something called Queers for Palestine, it blows my mind. Queers for Palestine, that means gay people in support of Palestine. Not to mention that in the Arabic countries, in the majority of them, maybe half of them, the penalty for being gay, lesbian, trans, certainly forget about transgender, but gay or lesbian in Arabic country is death. Most often, in other words, they will kill you for being gay, and living that lifestyle. And I'll tell you what, anybody that holds up a sign that says "Queers for Palestine" is an idiot, is an absolute. They would kill you, Palestine. They'd be killed if they walked around holding hands with another man in Palestine. I was there. I was in Palestine. They would have killed me for just being in an Israeli car, you know, maybe for looking American. Trouble.
Remember, you're telling me they gave you the guy, some passerby stopped and he just glared at you. You know, how dare you drive through with a car bearing Israeli plates?
Yeah, and it wasn't just that he glared at me. It was that he was creating a traffic jam where there already was one, and trying to get me beat up. But you know, people were beeping me, and I just, all I'm thinking is, don't let my foot slip off the gas, don't do anything that could cause this. Don't look at him. And I was trying not to make eye contact, but it was like my God, he was just putting. You know, he would have loved for me to slip into him and cause a big incident. He would have loved for me to get beat the crap out of. That's what I'm saying. This isn't like, this wasn't this wasn't a casual little glaring. This was he wanted me dead. If I got the crap beat out of me to the point where I was dead, he'd be like, good, mission accomplished. They hate us, Melissa. They hate us. And to have that kind of a that kind of a regime in in place is just crazy. So that's what I mean. Like Netanyahu, whatever he's doing, I'm being supportive of, and I think it's terrible that innocent. I want to just underline. I think it's terrible that innocent people are dying. I also think it was terrible that innocent people died when we were trying to get Hitler. But it's part of the contract. It's part of the situation. It's a very unfortunate part of it. And this is why war is hell. I mean, all war is hell. There's no question because innocent people get killed. My point is you can't stop because innocent people are getting killed. You've got to stop them. Hamas would wipe out the country of if they had. You know they don't have nuclear weapons because if they had nuclear weapons, they would have wiped out Israel already. They hate them. They hate Jews. They're anti-Semitic, but to the extreme, they would put Jews in ovens if they could, just like Hitler. I'm telling you, I have no sympathy for Hamas or anybody that's related to it. The sympathy is, of course, with the innocent people, and I just don't see a way around it.
I know it's just dreadful, but this is a situation. Israel can't just stand by. I know maybe you know there was a bombing of a supposedly a neutral food distribution center. And that Israel was, you know, it didn't admit that it was their fire. And, of course, the world came down on Israel and Netanyahu. I mean, these things were going to happen. But, before October 7th, nobody could envision that Hamas was going to launch such an attack. And, they've got to wipe out Hamas. I mean, how can you just live side by side with them?
You can't. You've got to wipe them out. You've got to completely wipe them out. Well, what is the status? Who is supportive of Israel at this point? Who is, like, totally supportive of Israel? What countries?
Supposedly the Biden administration was, even though they're very critical of Netanyahu. I mean, they're still sending aid.
Yep.
I don't think Great Britain is anymore. I think they're... You know, they've lowered their sights on Israel. Not too many countries.
Yeah.
Not too many countries. I'll tell you one thing, Russia isn't. Russia, you know, of course, Russia, what do you expect from Putin? They're more concerned about their relations with Iran and the oil. And, they don't want to offend any potential allies in that region. China, of course, we know where China stands. They couldn't care less.
Right. They just want chaos. They want chaos in the world.
Yes. They love it.
Yep.
They love it. And you can just tell that President Xi is just sneering his way through everything. He's such a despicable character. He's such a conniver.
Yep. Despicable is the word. Absolutely despicable.
Yeah.
Look. Let me remind folks, go to melissaitobjorn.com and check out the two documentaries there. And I can't say enough about this lady and what she's done. And she's a novelist, and she's an author, and a dancer, a multi-talented person, Renaissance woman for sure, educator, wife, mother, and, of course, talk show host. And each and every week she is our host. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Melissa Itell-Joran is the voice that you're hearing. Melissa, hey, how are you? So without further ado, we're talking about Israel. We're talking about support and, fair weather friends around the around the world and people who I guess got to do what they have to do. Melissa, here's my question for you. Do you think, like you said, you don't know where England is right now with it. Do you think quietly they're holding their nose and being supportive, but they're in a tough spot for their constituents and for their citizens, and they have to be critical of Israel? but they really know that this has to be done. I by the way, I think Biden knows he's giving aid to Israel. He knows he's got to do it, and we know that they're the only hope in that region. And without Israel being strong, it's a powder keg. It's already a powder keg, but we know. Do you think it's a game?
Well, I think, you know, Biden is towing the administration's line. I mean, the official policy of the United States is that Israel is its strongest ally in the Middle East. But then again, so is their growing friendship with Jordan, for example, and their burgeoning relations with Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're worried. They don't want, you know, they think they can get Saudi Arabia in their fold against a possible conflict with Iran. I think the two of them hate each other. But I think, as in Great Britain, as in other European countries, there's this rise of Arab, pro-Arab sentiment. And I think the government is trying to straddle both, you know, to straddle that and its official policy in the past. And I think they're leaning toward condemning Israel for the resulting devastation from its attack against Hamas. They want them to curb their tactics, call for a ceasefire, help bring more medical supplies to the residents in the Gaza Peninsula. Israel has opened another channel for aid to transport aid. Now, could things be better? Should people be? Yeah, of course, things could always be better. And yes, there are people. There are innocent people who were trapped, who've been injured, who got killed, separated from their loved ones. And yes, they've had to endure the after effects of war, just as the Germans did in Dresden, for example.
Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, it's exactly what's going on. Here, you know, it's if we would have examined what was happening to the people in Dresden, people in Berlin, but the innocent people that were getting killed. Has anybody ever given a count? I'm sure that you could look and you could find a count on the innocent people that perished in the bombing of Hitler's bunker. I mean, there were people that lived around there. They didn't even know that he was there, the people.
No.
But they bombed, and when they bombed that bunker, and you know, of course, they took cyanide, and they shot each other. He shot himself in the head, and maybe shot her in the head. Eva Braun was down there. But what about the people that were in that area? Talking about, because we didn't know where he was. We didn't know he was in that bunker, you know. The Allies didn't know. They were just bombing, and the Russians too, right? Russians were bombing that, and
right,
you know, and they were bombing and bombing and bombing, and the whole point was to get Hitler. By the way, you know, what about in order to get Saddam Hussein? Do you know how many innocent people were killed? You know, civilians were killed in trying to get. Saddam Hussein, I mean, tens of thousands of Iraqis, and I remember. And by the way, the soldiers, not that they're innocent because they've got uniforms on, but those people didn't want to be in the army. When they, you know, they talked about the Republican Guard, and the media hyped up this supposed Republican Guard, they called it. And they say, oh, wait till the Republican Guard comes out. Wait till he goes. You know, as it turns out, the Republican Guard during the Gulf War were the soldiers who had shoes on. And, you know, the soldiers who had shoes on their feet, the others were the plane. But I remember the hype of, oh, this scary Republican Guard. Oh, my God, they're gonna do this and they're going to do that. They were wearing, like, Chicago Cubs T-shirts and hats, and they were waving American flags and saying, "We love America. We love America." They wanted out so badly. They wanted out. And by the way, I'm sure so many people and Hamas at this point would love to, you know, like anybody who's being brought, not, I don't mean people in Hamas, but so many people that supported Hamas realized that what they did was so idiotic in giving people like that their own government, and to give people like that their own country. I mean, it's like, it's similar to putting the Nazis in control.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it is. It is, and this is very parallel to what went on in World War II, because the Nazis are living through Hamas. Hamas is picking up where the Nazis left off, and they're doing it in such a brutal way. I think it's even worse in some cases.
Yeah,
I mean, just the outright brutality. It's stunning.
Yeah.
Of Hamas, they're picking up where the Nazis left off.
Yeah, it just you're absolutely right, and when it comes down to it, they're going to have to. But you know, you're absolutely right, and the comparison that that we're making here is something that just that should be talked about more. And it's nobody wants to say it, because people are going to say, so you think it's okay then to kill innocent women and children and elderly and everything else. And you and I are both saying, no, it's not. It is not by any means okay for innocent people to die. But this is war, and this is what happens during war. And you just, you know, by the way, what about the innocent people in the Ukraine and everything else? And yes, people are condemning Russia, but what Hamas did was far worse than even what Putin did. I mean, terrible. I'm not defending Putin at all, but Putin. What Putin did is he's taking over. He's trying to take over a territory, right? It's an aggressive, militaristic move to do. He was doing this. Hamas was going in. They didn't think they were going to take over Israel. They just wanted to kill as many Jews as possible. That's what it was. It was just a vicious. It was a 9/11 attack. And you know, by the way, the people that are. That are critical now of Israel should remember what we were like during 9/11. I mean, we were furious, and it's the same thing. And relatively speaking, a lot more Israelis died in October than Americans died. I'm talking relative to population. To what died in 9/11 and who died in 9/11. And again, I'm not making the comparison, but just to put it in perspective, a far greater amount of percentage of Israelis died compared to Americans. And again, I was behind Bush during a time of war right after 9/11, and I was very supportive of him, and I would have been supportive of Biden, during that time or whatever. But right now, we should be as supportive as we can of Netanyahu.
Yes, I agree. Let the people of Israel will decide after this is all over what direction they want their government to take. Right now, everybody in Israel is united for a common purpose.
Where are they as far as their elections go? Are they... are they suspended, the elections?
I don't know if they're suspended. I'm not sure when they are, but that's not what's on everyone's mind. I haven't looked that up. Before October 7th, everybody, people here in the United States, American Jews, and if you remember the people who protested, there were many protests in Israel against the Netanyahu government, which was very right-leaning. Pro-Haredi or Orthodox, and now you don't hear anything about protests because of the situation. But I'm sure once things settle down, once this is all taken care of, the elections will go on. I'm not sure if it's officially suspended. They might be, But I'm sure then people will decide what they want to do.
Yeah. Just a reminder once again, you're listening to Melissa Itell Jorn. Go to melissaitelljorn.com. Check out the two documentaries there. What's the most dramatic thing we're hearing from another government in criticism of Israel? Is there anything that that stands out to you?
Well, it's just this. I understand. I know it's heart wrenching to see innocent people caught in the middle of this, losing their homes, not able to find clean water, being injured, maimed. I mean, the pictures are just. They're not only very graphic, but they're horrifying of people, innocent people, in hospitals. And yes, it's all, you know, everything is going to go down on Israel for this. But you know, at the same time, they have to try to find Hamas. Hamas has these subterranean tunnels that go on and on for miles. And to root out Hamas is no small undertaking.
Yeah, no question about it. What about, you know, what has Iran been saying, Iran been saying about all of this? Obviously, they're, you know, they're supportive of Hamas. And yeah. But are they haven't chimed in. They haven't decided that they're going to. They haven't decided that they're going to, you know, fight on their side. Is there anybody that is talking about getting involved from a military standpoint?
Well, there have been some. There have been incursions as far as the Iranians are concerned. The government in Iran says that one official was targeted by Israel and did die. Who was connected with Iran, and Israel claimed they had intelligence on this person as being, very highly connected to Hamas, and of course, the Iranian government has threatened retaliation against Israel. I mean, if this war doesn't end quickly, if the Israelis are not able to finish off Hamas, I'm afraid that it's going to be a bigger conflict between Israel and Iran, and of course, you know, the Palestinians are going to be there, the pawns in this, and it could really become a tremendously more dangerous conflict that could involve, you know, China, who's a big supporter of Iran,
yep,
and Russia. And then we're going to be, we're giving aid. We're giving, you know, billions in aid. And that's another point of contention in our government with some of the far left people in Congress, such as Bernie Sanders, who dismissed Israel and said, well, there's got to be a ceasefire. You can't let these people in Gaza suffer. You know, he's been anti-Israel ever since. He and AOC and the whole gang of
Jeez.
Gang of four plus two, you know. They,
Bernie Sanders is Jewish.
Yeah, but I guess it doesn't matter. He's just Jewish, in my opinion. He's a non-practicing Jew. He's
Jewish in name only.
From it. Exactly.
He's a gyno. He's a gyno.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Yeah, well, it blows me away. What do you think? Let's talk positively of what's happened thus far. The Israeli army has been very effective in destroying the infrastructure of Hamas. I mean, this isn't just about Palestine. If this was about Palestine, it would be it would have been over a long time ago. But my question to you is, I assume that they've really taken out much of the leadership and the infrastructure of Hamas, and when all is said and done, Hamas is not going to be able to function as any kind of organization. My question to you is, what are they saying? What is Israel saying And what is Netanyahu and supporters of Netanyahu, what are they saying about this? How much progress have they made?
I guess they've made some, you know, inroads, but I guess it's not enough. It's really not enough. And that's why some people in our country, in Congress, in Senate, feel that, you know, enough is enough. You know, it's gone, it's over. Well, not, I don't mean to make this into a pun, but it's overkill.
It is, right. Feel, but it's, it, you know, it's, yeah, not, look, in my mind, if they went after Hezbollah, after this, and they expanded, and they went after, if they went after Iran, I would be supportive. I'm going to support them, no matter what they do, because I know that they're in a situation that is dire, and I'm going to support them no matter what they do. And I'm as supportive as you could possibly be of Netanyahu. My question is, I wonder where it goes, and does it lessen the chances of future attacks, what's going on here? Because obviously they're very, very powerful. Have we heard anything about casualties on the Israeli side, Israeli army, how many they've suffered?
No, I don't have an exact figure. There have been a lot.
I mean,
on the Israeli side.
Do we have any idea? Yeah. Is there any kind of numbers?
Yeah, I don't have that at hand, but it's been a lot. I mean, there have been plenty of IDF soldiers killed, plenty of them whose, you know, families have been either kidnapped, and the soldiers have been, you know, they've been the, you know, they in the retaliation, they've been, you know, they've been taken hostage. You know, we know the stories of innocent children, babies even taken by Hamas. And we also know, we just know that there have been a lot of losses. I see this every day on Facebook.
Yeah. You know, the rape of young women and women has been, you know, reported, but somehow, I don't know, dismissed in a way. But, I mean, everything that we're talking about in the media seems to be pro, you know, hold on.
Yeah.
But, you know, with
terrible losses.
Yeah, terrible losses and sexual assaults. We see that, but all we're hearing about is how bad it is for the Palestinians, and we're not hearing anything about how much the Israelis and the Jews have suffered. You agree?
Yes, that's true. I mean, everywhere you go, at least in maybe in New York, not everywhere, there are posters of all the hostages, pictures of them on lamps, on poles, and because it's been over 180 days. And not everyone has been accounted for. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing. Yes. I, not to get too distracted here, but in closing, the media in general. I mean, is there anybody who's been diehard support of Netanyahu and of Israel? Is there? What about Fox News? I imagine they've been very strong, right?
Yeah. Well, Netanyahu, he acknowledges, you know, the stakes that the military has made in targeting its retaliation, you know. But at the same time, he's not abandoning his principle in ridding the Middle East of these people, of this group.
No. Well, listen, as a rule, I'm supportive of Netanyahu. I've always liked him, to be honest with you. And I know, look, he's had his corruption issues or he's had whatever. But I've always liked Netanyahu. I liked how he handled himself during the Gulf War. And, you know, I know he went away and then he came back. But I'm supportive of him. And wherever he goes with this, I'm going to be supportive. But I want to make it clear to everyone that we are sympathetic with innocent people out of getting killed. It's just, it's war, and it's terrible to say, but there's going to be casualties. And to everybody out there, listen, just please keep listening. Thank you very much for being here. And Melissa, we thank them as we do each and every week.
Oh, we do. We really do. And, you know, we want everybody to be safe. These are tough times right now. And, you know, we just have to keep the faith that somehow, you know, somewhere, this, we're going to get through this year. And this year is turning out to be quite, I don't know. I don't know if it's worse than last year, but it's, I think we haven't gone off course. We're still on this very, I don't know, very deadly course.
Yeah. And
it even hits us at home.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And to everyone out there, support Israel. Be supportive. Don't you understand that they are fighting the equivalent to Nazis and to Hitler. And again, it's by no means are we anti-Arab or anti-Muslim or whatever. But as far as Hamas goes, they're a terrorist organization. And please, everyone, stick close to Israel and stay close. I'm sure you agree, Melissa. Everyone should urge everybody to support Israel.
Yes. Yes, we have to. We have to support democracy. We have to support, even though we're, even if you have your reservations about the Netanyahu government, right now it's most important that we do something, that the world does something, and not stand by while this Nazi-like scourge continues to fester in this world. Because I fear we're heading toward, you know, we're heading back to where we were in 1938.
We are. And we've got to watch what goes on. Thank you, Melissa, and thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on the Melissa Itell Joran Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Duran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.